This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic every week, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology, science that touches your life and influences the way you see the world around you. Well, with us today is astronomer Jim Bell, once again, talking about the solar system and what lurks beyond that. We should point out that for 12 years, he was president of the board of the Planetary Society. He's currently professor of Earth and space exploration at Arizona State University and the author of a number of great books, including Hubble Legacy, Postcards from Mars, and The Space Book. We should point out that he got his bachelor's from Caltech, PhD from the University of Hawaii, and Hawaii, of course, has some of the greatest views of the night sky. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers talking about the future of space travel, medicine, robotics, artificial intelligence. And on Facebook, we have about 4 million fans on Facebook. And I have a new book coming out April 6th. And the book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. It's about the greatest search in the history of science to unify all the laws of the known universe in an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long. In the way that Einstein's equation E equals mc squared gave us the secret of the stars, why the sun shines, why the stars light up the night sky. All of it contained in an equation half an inch long. And then Einstein spent the last 30 years of his life chasing after the ultimate theory, the theory of everything, a theory that he said would, quote, allow us to read the mind of God. Well, all of this, this 2,000-year epic journey going back to the Greeks, who asked the question, what is the world made of anyway, all the way up to the present-day controversy over something called string theory, which is, by the way, what I do for a living. I'm the co-founder of string field theory, one of the main branches of string theory, but it's also a controversial theory. Nobel Prize winners have split on this question, taking opposite points of view. We'll find out what the controversy is about. I'll be on a national online book tour starting April. The book, once again, is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. But today we're going to bring on my friend, Professor Jim Bell, professor of Earth and space exploration at Arizona State University. And we're going to be talking about, well, the mission to Mars and then going beyond that into the solar system. So, Jim, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Professor Kaku, it is always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much for having me. There's lots to talk about, man. Lots.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's talk about you once again. When you were a youth, think back, when you were a child, what got you in the direction of science and eventually astronomy?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, when I was a kid, well, you and I might be around the same age, not sure, but when I was a kid, of course, the Apollo missions were going on. And there were astronauts who were going to the moon, and they were driving cars on the moon on television. And what a cool thing, right, for a kid to see these explorers out there. They're jumping around, having a good time, collecting rock samples and, you know, just doing amazing things. And that was very, very inspirational to me as a kid. That was one thing. And the other thing was that you may remember that back then, in the 80s, the 70s and 80s, there was very little science on television. You know, there was Nova, which has been a great show for such a long time, but they wouldn't cover astronomy very often. And there really wasn't a lot else. And then in 1980, this new show on PBS comes along called Cosmos, which was led and narrated by the famous astronomer Carl Sagan, who I had the privilege of being a colleague with at Cornell for a time early in my career. But he was, on TV, a scientist on TV, and he'd been on the Johnny Carson show, and he was promoting science and exploration and space and astronomy, and he was doing it in a way much like yourself, that is very understandable to the layperson, not very technical and jargony, but really conversational and helping just regular people understand what's going on out there. And that was hugely important to me as a young person, to be able to realize that, you know, this can be communicated, this can be understood, and we can, with great scientists and popularizers of science like Sagan, just inspiring an entire generation of today's scientists.
Okay, and also for the past 12 years, you've been the president of the board of the Planetary Society. So tell us a little bit about what is the Planetary Society.
Yeah, the Planetary Society is the world's largest public space advocacy organization. It's a membership organization, you know, like National Geographic or Sierra Club or what have you. And we've got members from around the world who are just excited about space exploration, about science, about astronomy, about planetary science, about the exploration of our solar system by NASA and other space agencies. And we do a lot of educational kind of work on our website and with events. And we do a lot of advocacy kind of work in Washington and other government centers around the world. To promote the benefits of space exploration and how it affects everybody and how it inspires everybody. And we do projects as well. So you may have heard of our LightSail project, small solar sail demonstration satellite, several of them that we've now launched and operated. One of them still operating in Earth orbit. So members of the society make all this possible. It's a great organization, and it goes back to the 80s, founded by Carl Sagan, Bruce Murray, and Lou Friedman as a way to get the public directly involved in space exploration. We're still performing that mission today.
Okay. Well, recently we had that spectacular landing on Mars with the Perseverance probe. Tell us a little bit about that probe and what is different about it that separates it from the previous efforts.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And I hope you and your listeners have seen the spectacular movies of the landing that the rover and its systems took, with the parachutes and the retro rockets, and just amazing technology, amazing NASA engineering technology. And, you know, on the outside, the rover looks a lot like the Curiosity Mars rover, which landed back in 2012. And there's a reason for that, because it's made mostly of spare parts from Curiosity. That's how NASA could afford it. So outwardly, it looks a lot like Curiosity in its basic systems. But inside and in its fundamental mission, it's very different. And the reason it's different is it's the first mission sent to Mars, and there have been 47 missions sent to Mars by the World Space Agency since 1960. It's the first one of those 47 that is designed to bring some material back from Mars. This mission, the rover, is the first part of what NASA and the European Space Agency call a Mars sample return mission. We'll be collecting samples, drilling into the rocks, scooping up the soils, collecting samples and putting them in small sample containers that are on board the rover. We'll be putting those small sample containers on the surface.
Okay, Jim, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the Mars Perseverance probe, and then even beyond that, what happens when we go to the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612. 1-800-564-8135 if you want to get on national radio. Give us a call.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Jim Bell, Professor of Earth and Science Exploration at Arizona State University, author of a number of great books, including Hubble Legacy, Postcards from Mars, The Space Book. And we're talking about the Mars mission with Professor Jim Bell. And Jim, let me ask you a question about that helicopter. Isn't this the first time that we've attempted to put a helicopter on another planet?
Yeah, it's the first time that we've attempted any kind of a powered flight on another planet. And, you know, there aren't a lot of planets out there we can do that. It depends with atmospheres, Venus, Mars, Titan, the giant planets would be difficult, you know. So this is our first attempt, and of course it's a tech demo mission, so it's designed to test the technology, and that technology could be useful for future Mars missions, as well as the quadcopter that's going to go to Saturn's moon Titan in the 2030s. So some of that technology and lessons learned will hopefully feed forward to that mission, which is called Dragonfly. That's going to be very exciting too.
And aren't there ongoing mysteries about Mars? I mean, for example, the presence of methane gas on Mars, which is quite anomalous, and the presence of a lake, underground lake under the ice caps. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, lots of mysteries on Mars. You know, Mars is the most Earth-like planet in the solar system, except for the Earth itself, of course. And a long time ago, early in the history of Mars, 2, 3, 4 billion years ago, it was a lot more like the Earth. I don't think it was ever like the Earth, you know, tropical rainforests and that kind of thing. But it was warmer, it was wetter, and there were environments that were hospitable for life as we know it. So this is the result of 60 years of exploring Mars with spacecraft, is knowing that. And so it allows us to target rovers and landers and other orbiters, images and the like on specific places like Jezero Crater, where Perseverance rover is, to try to get at these mysteries.
And water on Mars. If there is an underground lake with liquid water under the ice caps, doesn't that mean that there could be microbial life, or who knows?
Yeah, we know that the surface of Mars is very hostile to life as we know it. Extremely low temperatures, low atmospheric pressure, harsh ultraviolet radiation from the sun because there's no ozone layer. So the surface itself, very hostile to life as we know it. But if you just go down into the subsurface, it gets warmer, just like in the Earth. There is likely to be underground water, just like on the Earth, at least ice. We know there's ice there. It could also be liquid water, aquifers, groundwater. We don't know because we haven't been down there. We haven't dug more than a few centimeters into the surface. But it's a real discovery of the space age that there are environments on Mars in the subsurface that could still be habitable for life as we know it. Of course, we don't know if they are inhabited. That would be a big step and a fantastic and major discovery if we were to find that out.
Now, there's an organization called Boston Dynamics in Boston that is building robots, but not the rover kind of robot that's on treads, but robots that look like a horse or a dog, capable of running, perhaps running into the polar ice caps and craters, doing things that a rover cannot do. So are you intrigued by the idea that with artificial intelligence and more advanced robots that will be able to leave the rovers, which only go through very flat terrain of deserts, into the rough terrain of the ice caps and elsewhere, because we'll have rovers that look like a dog or a horse? But what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think AI is going to replace human exploration either through robotics or directly. But I think that that AI and amazing advances in robotics like we're seeing with companies like that is going to really shape exploration in the future. And not just of the planet, but of our own planet, our ocean floor, other unexplored places of our own planet. So I'm very excited about robotic technology and how it's being applied to space exploration. We're seeing incremental advances in the use of AI in driving rovers, in landing them, the rover's own computer and software written by really clever people here on the Earth helped guide the rover, the Perseverance rover, to its landing site by analyzing images in real time as it was descending. I mean, really spectacular advances in computing and software. We're seeing that all over our own planet and our own society, so it's only natural that it both extends to the space program and the advances in those realms from the space program come back into consumer electronics and our everyday lives.
Now let's say a few things about the astronauts that are planning to go to the moon and then to Mars. 2024, they say, would be the earliest that we would send astronauts to the moon, and perhaps the first woman will walk on the moon shortly after. After that, perhaps a lunar orbiter, and then after that, perhaps a ion engine that'll take us to Mars. But what are your thoughts about the future now? The future of going back to the moon, and then perhaps a manned mission to Mars sometime after 2030. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, you you've laid it out really nicely, and especially your stress of the word perhaps. There's a lot of uncertainty in all that. And the time scale, in my opinion, for 2024 is way too aggressive. But in this decade, I firmly believe in this decade, people will be going back to the moon as explorers, as pioneers of new technology and new ways that commercial space, not just NASA and other government space agencies, but commercial space is getting involved. And, you know, the moon is obviously right here in our backyard on an astronomical scale. It's a great place to practice and learn about deep space exploration, to get back to some of the skills that we had back in the Apollo era, but also taking advantage of much more technology. So I'm an optimist. I'm a total optimist. I believe that Mars is the next obvious destination beyond the moon for human exploration. I believe that it will happen in the 2030s. I don't know if it'll be NASA or SpaceX or another government like the Chinese. I don't know how that's all going to pan out, but my hope is that it'll be collaborative, that it'll be global activity, that we'll all help each other, learn from each other, pool our resources, and get humanity out there into the solar system.
Well, some people think that we're entering a new era in the manned space program with private enterprise, like with SpaceX, coming into the picture. Elon Musk is already offering tickets to the moon. There's a Japanese billionaire who already bought all the tickets for the rocket ship to take tourists to the moon. And the other richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, not to be outdone, he has his fleet of New Origins rockets, including space tourism. So do you think, therefore, we're entering a new ball game where prices are dropping, rockets are reusable, billionaires are opening their checkbooks, and a new vision is emerging? Elon Musk wants to create a two-planet species for humanity. And Jeff Bezos of Amazon wants to make sure that the Earth becomes a celestial garden and that heavy polluting is put into outer space. So what are your thoughts? Are we entering a new era of space exploration?
Well, in some sense, yes. In other senses, history is just repeating itself. You know, every time we've had these big advances in technology, there have been visionaries who see the potential for where that technology is going to go and how it's going to advance and change our civilization. You know, it happened with the invention of the printing press. It happened with the invention of the telephone, with the expansion of the railroads. It happened perhaps most recently before the space age with the creation of the aviation, the airline industry. And all of that was fueled by government investment. Before companies came along, it was only governments who could put in the resources in these risky markets that are just going to potentially lose money to advance the technologies. So it was government funding of the airline industry in the 1920s that created the market and the world of airlines that we have today. And so
okay, let's take another short commercial break, and afterwards we're going to continue a discussion with Professor Jim Bell, Professor of Earth and Space Exploration at Arizona State University. And give us a call. Our hotline number is open. It's 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue our journey throughout the solar system.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Jeremy Scott. After talks stalled out following an all-day and all-night session, Senate Democrats came to a compromise late Friday on the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called out Democrats for taking too long.
They were in a big hurry. We started voting on the First Amendment, as parliamentarian said, right after 11 a.m. Democratic leader held the vote open all day so they could try to figure out what was going on. with their own legislation that they want to pass on with their votes.
After holding out, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said late Friday, "We have reached a compromise that enables the economy to rebound quickly while also protecting those receiving unemployment benefits from being hit with unexpected tax bill next year." Senator Manchin then voted with all 49 Republican senators early Saturday in support of Senator Rob Portman's proposal for $300 per week in additional federal unemployment benefits. This is USA Radio News. The women accusing the Democratic governor of New York are speaking out.
Two of the women accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment are sharing their stories. Lindsay Boylan, the first woman to accuse Cuomo of harassment, telling a reporter that she decided to go public because she wanted to be the one to tell her story. The second woman, Charlotte Bennett, sitting down with CBS News.
"I thought, he's trying to sleep with me. The governor's trying to sleep with me. And I'm deeply uncomfortable, and I have to get out of this room as soon as possible."
How did you respond to those questions?
I responded honestly. And when I was even thinking of coming forward, I think that was where I held the most shame.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
According to the Epoch Times, President Joe Biden has extended the national emergency with respect to Iran for another year. The original declaration was made by President Bill Clinton 26 years ago. This is USA Radio News.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about exploring the solar system with Professor Jim Bell, president of the board for 12 years of the Planetary Society. And once again, I'll be on an online book tour in April, starting April 6th. My latest book comes out called The God Equation. That is the quest for the theory of everything. An equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that would allow us to summarize all the laws of physics in the universe. Einstein chased after that theory. It's been the goal for 2,000 years, going all the way back to the Greeks. And today we actually have a candidate for the theory of everything. In fact, there are hundreds of physicists around the world working to try to find this fabled theory, the greatest quest in the history of science to find the theory of everything. And that's the title of my latest book, The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. Go to my website if you want to know more about the book, or go to Amazon where we have 4 million fans on Facebook, and you can find out more about it on the web. Well, once again, with us today is Professor Jim Bell, Professor of Earth and Space Exploration at Arizona State University. He's the author of a book, Hubble Legacy. So let's talk a little bit about the replacement for the Hubble Space Telescope, the Webb Telescope. How is that coming along? There have been a number of delays there, but what's happening with the replacement for the Hubble?
Yeah, there have been a number of delays, but they're sort of back on track. As far as I know, the telescope is pretty much assembled. They've done a whole bunch of testing in giant vacuum chambers here in the U.S., getting it ready for space, testing the deployments of the sun shield and all the solar panels and things like that. So I think they're still on track for a launch later this year or possibly early next year. You know, like everybody else, they're struggling with COVID, but doing great work, keeping the workers safe and the people getting ready with the rockets and all that kind of stuff. It's a challenge for the space program, just like it's a challenge for everybody to keep moving forward. But they are moving forward, and you're right. It's going to be a spectacular mission. It's hard to imagine a telescope being better than the Hubble Space Telescope. That's our best one, right? But if everything works according to plan, James Webb will see farther and deeper and at such a, you know, more incredibly expansive range of the spectrum than Hubble can see.
Now, the Webb Telescope, as I understand, will be so sensitive that it'll be able to actually photograph extrasolar planets orbiting other star systems. Isn't that incredible? Because already we've identified 4,000 of these extrasolar planets, but to be able to photograph them, that's incredible. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It definitely possible, especially for ones that are nearby in our celestial neighborhood. And maybe more important than just photography is doing, you know, what we call spectroscopy, splitting the light up into its separate colors and analyzing those colors to figure out what the chemistry is, what's in those atmospheres of those planets, where is there water on the surface, you know, and being able to do that kind of, I call it squiggly line science, that's super important to astronomers. So the photos are great, but getting even deeper into the measurements is also just as important.
Okay, and also a few weeks ago on Science Fantastic, we had Professor Avi Loeb talking about extraterrestrial objects in our solar system. Let's take a short commercial break and ask you a question. Have we been visited by a manned or unmanned extraterrestrial probe back in 2017? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations and the Internet. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The pet industry saw nearly $99 billion in sales in 2020, and pet food accounted for about $38.4 billion in sales. This vibrant market keeps growing, and you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free research report from Avid Market Traders. Text PET to 48542. We've discovered that a potential multi-billion dollar growth opportunity has tails wagging over a company that incorporates functional pet food ingredients that offer proven health benefits for pet owners around the world. And that means hyper growth in the market for domestic and international pet owners. If you're a pet owner, text the word PET to 48542 to get this red hot market intelligence delivered to your mobile device. Text PET to 48542 for your free research from Avid Market Traders. Get the best for your investment strategy and for your pet when you text PET to 48542.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Jim Bell, Professor of Earth and Space Exploration at Arizona State University, author of a number of great books, including Hubble Legacy, Postcards from Mars, and The Spacebook. Well, a few weeks ago on Science Fantastic, we had with us Professor Avi Loeb, former chairman of the Astronomy Department at Harvard University, author of a rather controversial book, claiming that an extraterrestrial object, a designed object built by some alien civilization in outer space, drifted through our solar system in 2017. They called it Oumuamua, and it was like a cigar shape. It was apparently tumbling or pancake shape, and it seemed as if it was violating Newton's laws of motion. In other words, it was piloted in some sense. Well, what are your thoughts? It is controversial, and of course he was sticking his neck out, but, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, of course, it's fun to speculate, and don't have any problem with people speculating and hypothesizing about such things. I think the real issue is that we don't have solid evidence for such claims. And the way the scientific process works is you make observations, you collect evidence, you provide hypotheses, and you test them. I haven't seen, good confirmation or good evidence of those hypotheses. That doesn't mean they're bad hypotheses. It just means that we're probably not ever going to be able to prove such statements. That particular object is not going to come back anytime soon, if ever. And so we're left with a situation where speculation is all we have. My personal opinion is it is an extraterrestrial object, a totally natural extraterrestrial object. That's what the evidence seems to show, at least, perhaps, likely. Whether it's piloted and made by intelligent extraterrestrials, I don't think we can ever know that. But the nice thing and the cool thing is that, we've got evidence now that objects do come in from outside our solar system and pass close to the sun and then the planets because of the sun's gravity. So we can look for others. We can start to understand the population of them and learn more about other star systems besides our own by studying these things. So that's cool.
Now, we have Newton's laws of gravity and Newton's laws of motion, which are so precise, we can shoot a space probe right through the rings of Saturn. So this object apparently seemed to deviate from Newton's laws of motion. And whenever that happens, well, we don't think Newton was wrong. All our space probes are based on Newton's laws of motion. And he thought that, well, maybe that represents intelligence of some sort. But do you think it was a natural disturbance that caused this object to deviate slightly from Newton's laws of motion?
Well, first of all, I haven't looked at the data and done the calculations and analysis, so I think your earlier original point is valid. It's controversial. And second of all, there's plenty of examples, if those measurements are accurate, there are plenty of examples in comets in our own solar system of these objects changing their orbits because of jetting of volatiles, ices on their surface. So comets do this in our own solar system. And maybe this object, you know, as it was getting warm, coming from the depths of deep space, getting warm close to the sun, was releasing gases and changing its orbit, just like comets do in our own solar system. So that's a hypothesis that has to be explored as well.
Okay, well, let's move on now to talk about the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, including Europa and Titan. Europa is quite interesting because apparently it has a liquid water ocean underneath the ice cover. And who knows, maybe there's aquatic life. There's more liquid water under the ice caps of Europa than all the oceans on the planet Earth, for God's sake. So what are your thoughts about the next missions, which may eventually go to Europa and perhaps Titan?
You know, there's a short list of places in our solar system where life as we know it could have existed in the past or could still exist today. And Europa and Titan and Mars are on that short list. Enceladus, the small moon of Saturn, is on that list as well. It's a short list, meaning those places are very special. And you're right, there could very well be life in the oceans of Europa. We don't know, which is
okay,
why we
Tim,
have to
we have to take yet another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of our solar system, our own backyard. You are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, our website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on National Radio. Give us a call.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Jim Bell. For 12 years, president of the board of the Planetary Society, author of The Hubble Legacy, Postcards from Mars, The Space Book, and currently professor of Earth and Science Exploration at Arizona State University. So we were talking about going beyond Mars now to the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. Europa, there's a mission planned by NASA to go to Europa. It's been delayed a few times, however. And the oceans of Europa, by volume, are bigger than the oceans on the planet Earth. And some people think that that's a likely place to find life. However, I should point out that if intelligent life ever gets off in the oceans of Europa, they will never discover electricity and computers because water will conduct electricity. So it seems that aquatic life, unless they leave the oceans, will only develop to a certain technological level because water will short-circuit electricity, which allows us to leap into the electric age and then the computer age. But hey, what are your thoughts about life in the universe?
You know, I'm reminded of that famous line from the book and movie Jurassic Park, life will find a way, right? And given enough time, given the right environment, given the forces of natural selection and evolution that have worked on our planet and perhaps work on others, life will find a way. If there are environments out there that are habitable for life as we know it, I'm an optimist. I've already told you that. I'm an optimist. I think it's out there. Maybe a lot of it is microbial. Maybe evolution hasn't worked anywhere else except on our planet. I find that unlikely. The statistics are compelling. You know, hundreds of billions of galaxies, hundreds of billions of stars per galaxy. Many millions and tens of millions of Earth-like planets in our own galaxy. Staggering numbers. And it's so hard to argue that in all of that, we must be alone. What we need is evidence, right? And that's why we look. That's why we search.
Well, as you mentioned, there are roughly 100 billion stars per galaxy and 100 billion galaxies that are visible with the Hubble Space Telescope. And that's 100 billion times 100 billion. That's an awful lot of stars. And on average, every star has a planet going around it because of the results from the Kepler satellite. And so with so many planets out there, a good fraction of them being Earth-like, then we have the Fermi paradox of, well, how come they don't visit us? What are your thoughts? And of course, this is pure speculation.
Well, I'm very bullish on there being other forms of life in our universe. In our solar system, we've identified a small number of places to focus on to try to address that question. Mars, Europa, Titan, Enceladus, a few other potential places. And that's why we go to those places. That's why NASA and the World Space Agencies explore those places. And then we focus our telescopes on extrasolar planets, looking for so-called Earth 2.0 and focusing our efforts on that. We yearn to know whether we're alone. And we're living in a technological society in a time where we can actually try to answer that question definitively. And that's pretty awesome.
Well, when we had Professor Avi Loeb, former chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard, on the air a few weeks ago, he mentioned something called archaeoastronomy. That is, instead of the SETI project, sitting in a chair and then listening for radio signals and eavesdropping on conversations between alien civilization, maybe there's space junk out there that was created by alien civilizations maybe millions of years ago, and it's like finding a bottle on a seashore. When you find a bottle, it's a piece of junk, it's a piece of debris, but obviously is created by an intelligent civilization. And so he was saying, well, instead of listening for signals from radio conversations from aliens, why not look for space junk, debris left over from some advanced civilization that they discarded? And he thinks that maybe that was the object that sailed through our solar system in 2017, basically a discarded bottle from an alien civilization. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think we'll do that, those kinds of searches, naturally as part of the way we explore. You know, we fly by, and then we orbit, and then we land, and then we bring samples back. This is the way we've been exploring our solar system for more than half a century now. And so that will give us spectacular images and maps and other data. And we've seen evidence of alien spacecraft on Mars. We are the aliens that have brought it. We've seen evidence on the moon. We are the aliens who brought those spacecraft to the moon, and we can see them from orbit. So we're doing that. My personal preference is not to focus on those kinds of needle in a haystack kind of searches, but to really get to know these places, study them well, understand their environments in general, as planets, as moons, as planetary environments. You know, even the moons out there are really planets. They just happen to be orbiting other planets. The moon Ganymede is larger than the planet Mercury. Titan, comparable in size to the planet Mercury. These are planets out there. And so, you know, we've got to explore them in great detail.
Okay, and also there's something called the Breakthrough Starshot Program. There's a billionaire backing the idea of shooting computer chips shot into outer space with huge laser beams on the Earth, capable of reaching a good fraction of the speed of light and reaching Alpha Centauri maybe in 20 years' time. So what are your thoughts about going to the stars, not with the Starship Enterprise? Well, we just have a few seconds left. Yes or no, you think it's a good idea?
I think it's important to have vision. Right now, a lot of that is science fiction, but that doesn't mean we can't have vision and try to make it happen.
Okay, well, we've run out of time. Once again, our special guest today was Professor Jim Bell, author of the books Hubble Legacy, Postcards from Mars, the Space Book. He's a professor of Earth and space exploration at Arizona State University. So, Jim, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.